ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सेवन कैंटो चैप्टर 14 टेक्स्ट 15 एंड 16।
Transcendental knowledge as well as the money with which to perform sacrifices, one must do it according to the directions given in the sastras. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 3, Text 52, Kriteya yajatu vishnum tretayam yajatu makai dvapare panicharyayam kalau tadhari kirtana. The entire Vedic civilization aims to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This was possible in such a yuga by meditation upon the Supreme Lord within the core of one's heart, and in Treta Yuga by the performance of costly yagyas. The same goal could be achieved in Dwapara Yuga by worship of the Lord in the temple. And in this age of Kali, one can achieve the same goal by performing Sankirtan Yagya. Therefore, one who has education and wealth must use them to satisfy the Supreme Personality Godhead by helping the Sankirtan movement that has already began by the Hare Krishna movement or Krishna consciousness movement. All educated and wealthy persons must join this movement, since money and education are meant for service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If money and education are not engaged in the service of the Lord, these valuable assets must be engaged in the service of Maya. The education of the so-called scientists, philosophers, and poets is now engaged in the service of Maya. And the wealth of the rich is also engaged in Maya's service. The service of Maya, however, creates a chaotic condition in the world. Therefore, the wealthy man and the educated man should sacrifice their knowledge and opulence by dedicating them for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord and joining this Sankirtan movement. Yajnai Sankirtana Prayar Yajantihi Sumedasaha.
Om Agya Temelandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshirmilitan Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadi Swapan Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shri Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vidam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vidam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Shibhanu Suti Devi Namami Harivi Vancha Kalpa Tarbyasha Kripa Sindhu Bhaye Vacha Vidana Pavanebhyo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Hare Krishna We are reading from a chapter called Ideal Family Life. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have information virtually on every topic. In the previous chapters, Narada Muni has explained what is the duty of a brahmachari, what is the duty of a sannyasi, what is the duty of a vanaprastha. Now, he proceeds to explain how should an ideal grihastha act. Therefore, especially one in the grihastha ashram, or desires of entering the grihastha ashram, one must read this 14th chapter of the 7th canto very thoroughly and understand what Narada Muni is saying. In the opening verse of this chapter, Yudhishthira Maharaj inquired. Yudhishthira Maharaj said, "Can you please guide us, those who are living in the grihastha ashram, how they can achieve perfection based on the Vedas?" So Yudhishthira, of course, was not in ignorance. Yudhishthira is also known as Dhamraj. But in order to enlighten and guide the population of Kali Yuga, Yudhishthira asked this question on our behalf. Narada Muni responded, and one important point is, Yudhishthira inquired, "Please guide us based on the Vedic instructions." He didn't want some mundane guidance, what a householder should be like. So, Narada Muni, in response to Yudhishthira's question, has begun to answer. Narada Muni has pointed out that one should earn his livelihood. If you're a householder, you have to earn your livelihood. But one should not be the enjoyer of the results, but one must offer the results to the Supreme Lord. And how do you get this knowledge that one should offer the results to the Lord? Narada Muni explains, by sadhu sangha. As the Chaitanya Charitamrita states, sadhu sangha sarvasiddhihaya, nama mata sadhu sangha sarvasiddhihaya. So, Narada Muni points out that a householder must associate again and again with advanced sadhus so that he is always reminded about the goal of life. Further, Narada Muni has also pointed out that in the householder ashram, one should live in a detached mood, not attached. One may be attached to one's wife, children, and so on. But he had to realize that this body to whom you are attached is one day going to turn into ashes or stew, where the body eventually gets cremated or burnt. So this body will ultimately become stew, like in the Parsis, they throw the body in the well. And as the eagles see the dead body, they come and pluck the dead body, and then it passes into stew. The Christians and the Mohammedans, they bury the body that turns into ashes. The Hindus burn the body to turn into ashes. So, this body that we're so attached to, either going to turn into stew or ashes. So Narada Muni explains this, and then Narada Muni goes and explains how in the house of an ashram sometimes you may have to pose as if you're very attached, but internally you should be completely detached. So Narada Muni has been explaining in great detail how one should live in the household of Hashem. Today we read two verses, text 15 and text 16. In text 15 had no purport. So the normal tradition is that if there's no purport by the Acharya, we proceed to the verse with the purport. So what is Narada Muni saying in the fifth text 15? Every day one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So by this we get the message, every day devotional service is full-time activity. Now then you may say, oh, I'm a householder, I also have to earn my livelihood. And now the Muni said in the second verse that the householder must earn his livelihood. You can't be a householder and then be a beggar on the street. So you may earn your livelihood, but at the same time you should also engage in devotional activity. So every day Arjuna is a supreme being who is situated in everyone's heart. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridayeshu Arjuna Tishtati. Krishna is situated in everyone's heart. What does the Lord do being situated in our heart? What does He do? Who knows? What does the Lord do situated in the heart? Yes. Yes. He guides you. He records your activities. And He guides you both positively and negatively. Just like Krishna says, Sarva sacha bhedi sanivishto mataha smita jnanam apahanam cha. Krishna is saying in his famous verse, I'm the cause of remembrance and I'm the cause of forgetfulness. So one person He will guide how to advance spiritually, and another person may be guided how to forget the Lord. So that is a result of a free choice. Just like in the 18th chapter, Krishna questioned, is your illusion now gone? Did you hear the message carefully? And Arjuna said, yes. And then the Lord said, now, Arjuna said, now my illusion is gone and I'm ready to act as per your direction. So the Supreme Lord is in everyone's heart, and He's also the ultimate sanctioning authority. As they say in English, man proposes, and who disposes? God disposes. So the Paramatma disposes. He sees what you're entitled to. So Narada Muni is saying, every day one should worship the Supreme Lord, and who is situated in everyone's heart. Further then, in text 16, which was read today, Narada Muni says, when one is enriched with wealth and knowledge, one should engage them in service. And the key point that emerges virtually in every verse of this chapter is that a householder must engage in devotional service. It is not that, as some people think, oh, now I'm in a Grihastha ashram, so I have all, it's all free choice. I can decide how much service I want to do. No. Narada Muni is very clearly explaining in every verse, the householder, he must engage in devotional service. And a householder may have wealth. So what do you do with the wealth?
Oh,
I'm going to leave it for my children. Okay, you can. But then you don't get any spiritual benefit. If you have wealth, now the Muni is saying in this verse, use that wealth to serve the Lord. If you use Lakshmi in service of Narayan, that is the proper utilization. And then if you have knowledge, we don't say, if you're Krishna conscious, you should not go to school, you should not go to college, you can go to the best college. You may obtain knowledge, but use that knowledge to establish the supremacy of the Supreme Lord. Now the Buddha is saying very clearly, if one is enriched with knowledge and wealth, then one must perform yajna to please the Lord. As we said, the one theme that appears in the whole Bhagavatam, that appears in this chapter, is that a householder, and for that matter, everyone must engage in devotional service to the Lord. And wealth and knowledge. Knowledge can be misused, can be used correctly. If knowledge is used to serve the Lord, then the knowledge is a blessing. If knowledge is used to forget the Lord, then the knowledge is a curse. So, now the Muni in this was the same. If you have knowledge, if you have wealth, use it to perform yajna. So using it to perform yajna doesn't mean just use it to buy the ingredients for a yajna and the rest you keep in your bank balance. What this really means is use it to serve the Lord. In the purport, Prabhupada makes reference to two very famous verses of the scriptures. One is from the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, in the ninth verse, where Krishna says, Yagnatar karma nyasa lokayam karma bandhana. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna emphasizes, there must be yajna or sacrifice executed in the human form of life. In the third chapter, Krishna says, Saha yajna prajasheshva purovacha prajapati. In the very beginning, the Lord told the living entities and the demigods, be thou happy by the performance of sacrifice. So what this means is, when the creation took place, as the living entities were appearing in the material world, the Lord told them, if you want to be happy, you must perform sacrifice. Without sacrifice, there is no question of any happiness. Without sacrifice, the happiness that we realize is illusory. So, what Prabhupada is saying in the verse, in support of what Narada Muni is saying in the translation, is that we must perform sacrifice for the pleasure of the Lord. And then Prabhupada quotes from the 12th canto, the famous verse, who knows which is the verse Prabhupada quoted in the purport? No one knows? Kriti adhyayato Vishnu, kriti yo yajato mukhe. In the Bhagavatam it is said, in Satyuga, the process of self-realization was meditation on the Lord. And people in Satyuga had the capacity to meditate for 70,000 years. You may say, oh, how is that possible? It's mythology. Now, the lifespan was 100,000 years. So 70,000 is not so significant. Then in Sveta Yuga, the process of self-realization was, who knows what? Elaborate sacrifices. These were elaborate sacrifices because in these sacrifices you needed a lot of ingredients. Pure butter, pure milk, etc. And all that cost money. But that was a means of sacrifice, of success. And in Dwapara Yuga, the process was very elaborate worship of the Lord. What did this mean? If you came to the temple, you would be expected to come in with some gold or silver with you. There would be signs everywhere. You can't walk in without gold or silver offering for the Lord. So this is certainly a very expensive worship of the Lord. So the Bhagavatam says, the same yajna benefit can be realized in Kali Yuga by chanting the names of the Lord. So the entire Vedic civilization is based on the principle that through the human form of life, the Lord must be worshipped. So if you are Prabhupada saying in the purport again and again, so if you have wealth, if you have knowledge, use it in the service of the Lord. Now why is it that everyone doesn't realize this? Why is it that we hear every day, still we don't realize it? That is the power of illusion, and that is due to our ignorance. Om Jnanti Vrandasya Jnananjana Shalakya. That is, I was born in ignorance, but by the mercy of a sadhu, I have got enlightened over the value of the human form of life. So, as a householder, one must use one's knowledge and wealth also in service to the Lord. Now, what happens when you don't use your wealth in service to the Lord? There is no shortage of wealth, is there? Unfortunately, it's in the wrong hands. But there's no shortage of wealth. What happens? Then you take on the karma of all the sins incurred in earning that wealth. Even when you drive your car on the road, you walk over so many entities. You walk anywhere, there are so many entities. When you're driving, you can't see it. So, if you don't use it in service of the Lord, take on all the karma. We have examples of how saintly kings in the past used their wealth to glorify the Supreme Lord, use their wealth to make temples for the Lord. And this tradition was also in Christianity. In fact, all the principal churches in Europe were virtually all made by kings. And many of the big temples in India were also made by kings. So, this is among the Muslims, it's a common practice that if you have wealth, make a masjid. I was in the Middle East a few years ago and I saw in every corner virtually a mosque, every few steps. So I asked the local devotee, is this made by the government? He said, no. It's a tradition among the Muslims that when you make wealth, You first make a mosque before you make your own house. It's a good example. So the point is, wealth and knowledge or any ability that one may have. Krishna says, I am the ability in man. Someone may have the skill of painting. You may have certain ability. Use it in service of the Lord. So, as Prabhupada says, the service of Maya creates a chaotic situation in the world. So today we see in the world harmony or disharmony? Disharmony. Peace or quarrel? Tension, stress. What is the real cause of all this? The power of Maya. Prabhupada says in the purport very clearly. So as long as we surrender to the mind and the senses, one will never be happy. And if we come in the association of devotees and listen to their advice, association with devotees is useful only if you're going to listen to the advice that is being offered. For example, when we go to a place of pilgrimage, we should be going to the place of pilgrimage with the intention of purifying ourselves by listening to genuine sadhus. If our goal is, I'll just go to a place of worship, get some punya, leave my sins behind and proceed, you won't get some benefit. So, in this chapter, spiritual association for householders, they should listen to sadhus, and it has been strongly emphasized. So if you're a householder, attend the Bhagavatam class. If you're in a position you can't attend the Bhagavatam class, then read. But by regular association, you'll get the real message. So this is not something new that you're hearing. From the first canto to the 12th canto, the same theme is mentioned again and again, because we are so forgetful that even after hearing every day, we don't really take advantage. So, in the verse from the 12th canto, it is clearly emphasized that in this age of Kali, you can get the same benefit by chanting the holy name. So, in this age, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, and what's the duration in this Kali Yuga? What's that duration? Maximum 100 years. But from the age of 50 or 40, you begin to collapse, and then you ultimately collapse. So in this age of Kali, by chanting the holy names of the Lord, one can get the same benefit one could have got in chanting in the other age. One could have obtained by other forms of sacrifice executed in other ages. So we know that the chanting of the holy name is all the powerful. So this chanting gives us the maximum result. If we chant avoiding the offenses and hearing attentively. In the Upadeshamrita, Rupa Goswami says, the holy names of the Lord are sweet like sugar candy. But unfortunately, due to the power of avidya, we are not able to appreciate the sweetness of the holy name. Just like, we know the holy name is so valuable. But why don't we chant all the time? Why do we fall asleep while chanting? And we wake up while eating prasad? Because of the power of avidya. So, is there any hope? Rupa Goswami said, yes, there is hope. By regular chanting, the disease will get cured and the sweetness of the holy name will be realized. So what this is conveying is that chanting the holy name is the best form of worship. Now, someone may have money, he may have knowledge, and he may say, money is for me, but the holy name is for Krishna. So I'll only chant the holy name. But money I must keep. Money is too hard to part with. They say, honey, so what's that? What does Krishna say? When Krishna says, Sarvadhamam Paritajamame Kamshanam Vaja, what does he mean? All your abilities, resources, etc., use it in service to me. Offer it to me. So the goal of human life should be to please the Supreme Lord. And how to please the Lord, that direction you get from Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. Three parallel tracks on which the devotional carriage moves. Shastra means the words of the Lord as presented in the scriptures. Sadhu means the acharyas who have studied carefully the teachings of the Lord and summarized it for our benefit, simplified it. Guru means the teacher who tells you how to follow Narada Muni. But the instruction should be based on sadhu and shastra. If it is not based on sadhu and shastra, then it is shrama eva hi kevalam. So from beginning to end, the Bhagavad Gita is emphasizing this point again and again. So one, if he has education and wealth, he must use it to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The scriptures explain, Athata Brahma Jigyasa. Now you've got this rare human birth. So we associate with saintly people so that we can hear something. Dhruva Maharaj went through a lot of austerities and eventually he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord offered him any benediction that he may desire. And Dhruva Maharaj said, my dear Lord, if you want to give me any benediction, give me the benediction that I may always associate with elevated souls. Why? Why do I want to associate with elevated souls? Why? Well, I'll hear something that will help me to cross over the ocean of birth and death. So, association is a must for spiritual advancement. And we in ISKCON are so fortunate in that we have access to unlimited literature. Prabhupada alone translated nearly 90 books, which are virtually available in every Indian and international language. We have the literature of the Goswamis. We have evident means to associate and get guidance. So, as householders, in the Vedic concept, the four varnas and four ashramas. The four varnas are Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and the four ashrams are Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyasa. So it doesn't matter which ashram you belong to, but the principle of sacrifice is not to be compromised. One should not think that I'm in a household ashram, so I'm at liberty to do X, Y, Z, and I'll not be responsible for the reaction. It is very clearly stated, whatever abilities you have, use it in service to the Lord. So, Narada Muni has pointed out, develop the mood of detachment. So how do you develop vairagya? You develop vairagya by first cultivating knowledge and applying that knowledge. Then that results in vairagya. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Yojita. So you must engage in Vasudeva Bhagavati. We have devotees in our Krishna conscious movement. They may not know one word of Sanskrit. They may not know one sloka, but they are applying the philosophy. Krishna is supreme, the holy name is the medium. And by executing that, they get the strength to practice Krishna consciousness. On the other hand, you may have someone who is a Sanskrit pandit, who has virtually memorized the whole Bhagavad Gita, but he doesn't practice it. So he doesn't develop the mood of vairagya. Lord Chaitanya, when he was touring southern India, he came to the famous Sri Rangam temple. There was a Brahmin, uneducated, illiterate, but he had one saving grace. Every day he would sit down at a particular location and recite 18 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. And when he would be reciting these chapters, tears would come from his eyes, hair would stand on end, and body would shiver. So these are signs of someone displaying and realizing ecstatic love of God. So Lord Chaitanya, when he saw this, he could see this man has some ecstatic symptoms. And he could see that these are genuine symptoms, not fake symptoms. So Lord Chaitanya asked him, what is it in the Bhagavad Gita that's making you display these symptoms? And the Brahmin said, I'm literally uneducated, but I have an instruction from the Guru to read 18 chapters of the Gita every day. So I make an honest attempt, but because I can't pronounce these shlokas properly, people ridicule me and laugh at me. But when I see that the Supreme Lord is so kind, he becomes the chariot driver of his devotee, becomes his driver, and he's following his command, then these symptoms get revealed. And the Lord Chaitanya embraced him and said, you really understood the meaning of the Bhagavad Gita. The point was, he was not a scholar. He couldn't even pronounce one shloka properly. But he realized, the Lord is so kind, he becomes Bhakta Vatsala. He gets captured by his devotee and even becomes the chariot driver. He even lifts at his father's shoes. So, what is important is realizing and executing the philosophy. And if we execute what we hear, then that will help us advance spiritually. So to summarize, Narada Muni is responding to Yudhishthira Maharaja's queries. That's another thing you see in these scriptures. Questions, answers, question, answers, question, answer. In this chapter, Narada Muni is asking questions. Some chapters, Vidura is asking, Arjuna is asking. So we should constantly be asking questions. How can I make spiritual progress? How can I give up my attachments? How can I develop the mood of detachment? How can I make spiritual progress? These are the most important questions of life. Just like Parikshit Maharaj inquired, what should one do with who's on the verge of death? So, we should inquire from the right source and then you'll get the right answer. So Narada Muni's questions, Narada Muni is answering Yudhishthira Maharaja's questions, and Narada Muni has explained the importance of spiritual association, the importance of living in the Grihastha Ashram, but in the mood of detachment. Bhagavad Gita gives a nice example. Lotus leaf is in water, but doesn't touch the water. So we have to live in the material world. If we remain attached, attachment is a cause of pain. So we're not saying, the Bhagavatam is not saying, have absolutely no attachment, but have it in the right perspective. Recognizing these are all temporary relationships. And if we really want to benefit each other, we should give spiritual knowledge. Just like in the fifth canto, you read about Lord Rishabhdev's instructions. Lord Rishabhdev clearly states, one should not become a father or mother till one can guide the child back to Godhead. One should not become a teacher till he can guide his dependent. One should not become a spiritual teacher till he can guide his follower, disciple, on the path of perfection. So, as householders, you take on a lot of responsibility. Take on responsibility that you accumulate wealth, you accumulate knowledge, you have children, etc. So you have to understand that these so-called assets are also your biggest enemies. And you can only cultivate genuine detachment if you follow the advice given in the scriptures. And in the famous verse that Prabhupada quotes in the 12th canto, it begins with chanting the holy names of the Lord. Chanting the holy names of the Lord, performed attentively, avoiding offenses, results in developing genuine love for the Lord, which results in reduction of material attachments. Just like Lord Chaitanya says, Cheta Darpan Marjanam. So one of the benefits of chanting the holy name is the dirt gets cleansed. Dirt gets cleansed means the material attachments are getting minimized. They're not going to come to zero in 1 second, but the process of minimization begins as we execute devotional service on the advice of saintly people. So if we take this advice, success is granted. And that's why regular hearing is also recommended in the scriptures. Regular hearing plays a powerful role in developing Vairagya. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. We can take any questions if you want. Anyone has any questions? No questions? Yes. Yes. In Satya Yoga, good question. In Satya Yoga, the means to get love of God was meditation on the Lord. So you can get the same image, just like in the business world, something is selling for 1 lakh rupees, and tomorrow they sell for 1 paisa. Everyone go running to buy. Something is for 1 lakh rupees, and they say, okay, now you're getting it for 1 rupee. Everyone will buy. So the process of purification has got highly simplified in this age of Kali. In the first canto, it is already stated, the Kali Yuga people have short lives. They're misguided. Quarrelsome. So realizing the situation, Lord gave us this very simple benefit. So you get the same benefit just by chanting holy name that you got in other ages by other means. Yeah. Yeah.
Guru Maharaj, my understanding is that chanting is there the whole time. The chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is also there in Satya Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Tritha Yuga. Liberation is different than Ladograd. So one gets liberated when they do those meditation. They still have to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
Well, according to the verse here, you get the same benefit in it. According to this verse of the Bhagavatam, that Prabhupada quotes often, chanting in the Hare Krishna may have been there, but it's not the principal means. The principal means was meditation, then subsequently yajnas, subsequently elaborate worship of the Lord. That's what the scriptures say. That's what the verse says here.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't compulsory. In this age it's compulsory. Yes. Uneducated people.
Right.
Everyone can understand, chant Hare Krishna. Let them chant. Just by chanting holy name attentively, you can go back to Godhead. You don't have to read the Bhagavad Gita also. Tell them, just chant. If they read, it's good, but even if they don't read and just chant, it'll make advancement. That is only if you want to get Diksha disciple course. But everyone does not have to get Diksha. First let them just chant. Then as they progress in chanting, they themselves will say, what are the rules? Just like when Prabhupada opened the first temple in New York, He told the devotees, just chant. And after weeks of chanting, the American devotees came to Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, don't you want us to follow some rules? They themselves asked Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, this is what I was waiting for. And he will come and ask me. So when you chant, you get purified. And then you'll ask yourself. Okay. And any other question? Your question?
Chanting independently is enough, or Isha is also important as well?
Yes, but as you chant, then you realize these other points. But chanting is the beginning. Any other question? Okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you.